The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
$6.5 million sockeye are on the books, $9 million total run, and we, the USA, are 240 years old today. It's the July 4th Bristol Bay Fisheries Report here on KDLG. I'm Dave Bettinger. We're glad to be on board with you. The 2 billionth commercially harvested salmon is coming, but it won't happen on what would have been an iconic day today because this run is taking a little while to get going. FRI's Curry Cunningham joins in a minute to discuss a run that's coming in a bit late.
When we look at cumulative catch and escapement through July 3rd, we stand at about 8.6 million. This is below the 80-plus average of about 12.7 million through this date, and even behind last year, which was a late run, we still had about 10.1 million through July 3rd.
Plus today, a brief note from Tim Sands on managing for allocation on the west side. First, here's your daily run summary and some other pertinent data. Sunday's catch bay-wide was 1.4 million sockeye, cumulative now 6.5 million. Sunday's total escape in all rivers, 361,000, bringing the season close to 2.2 million escaped. Within river estimates, the total run to Bristol Bay through midnight Sunday, 8.9 million. Ugashik District catch yesterday, 238,000 fish, 860,000 on the season. Ugashik River counted 26,000 escapement, 131,000 total. Igigik District catch, 321,000 Sunday, season total 1.88 million. 26,000 sockeye counted as escapement in the Igigik River, 600,000 on the season. That's just 200,000 away from the lower end of the goal of 800,000 to 2 million fish. Naknek-Quijack catch, 473,000, already 995,000 on the season after this quick start Friday. Quijack River escapement, 96,000, season total 230,000. Naknek River escapement, 97,000, season total 467,000. Nooshigak District catch, Sunday, 400,000, season total 2.6 million. Some big escapement days for the West Side Rivers. Nooshigak, 6,100 kings counted, season total 105,000, that's 10,000 past the goal. 37,000 reds in the Nooshigak, season total escapement 322,000. Just 50,000 more needed to hit the lower end of the 370,000 to 900,000 escapement goal range on the Nooshigak River. Wood River daily count yesterday, 75,000 past the tower. Another 25,000 till 6 a.m. this morning. Season total, 436,000. Bottom end of the goal is 700,000. Igushig Tower counted 3,200 reds yesterday, 1,800 this morning. Season total, 23,000. And the Togiak Tower went up on the 1st and is counting a couple hundred reds per day. Sockeye per drift delivery for July 3rd, Ugashik, as is often the case, sitting atop here, 1,157 sockeye per drift delivery average. Igigik, 928. Naknek-Quijack, 743. Nooshigak, 645. Togiak had the day off. Quite a bit of movement out there. Not unexpectedly since Friday's opener in the Naknek-Quijack. Here's your registrations. Ugashik District, 245 permits on 188 vessels. Permits climbing to 265 in 48. Igigik, 368 permits on 290 vessels. Expecting to add one more permit in 2 days. Naknek-Quijack, 560 permits now on 458 vessels, climbing to 617 permits in 48 hours. Nooshigak District down to 409 permits on 312 vessels, two more leaving in 48 hours. Togiak has 39 on 39. Baywide total 621 permits registered to fish, drift permits climbing to 1,697 in 48 hours. Right now there are 335 D boats in the bay, 348 expected in 48 hours. Something we haven't mentioned much yet, but will certainly become more important here as the days go on, is the allocation split. Ugashik drift, 86.7% of the catch. Ugashik set, 12.8%. Igigik drift, 83.6%. Igigik set, 16.4%. Naknek-Kwijak drift, 74.6% of the catch. Naknek set, 12.9%. Kwijak set, 12.5%. Nushigak drift, 62.9% of the catch. Nushigak set, 24.9%. Agushik set, 12.2%. Fish and Game's Tim Sands has more on that in a moment. Port Moeller test fishery, and first a quick word about the Port Moeller catch data. Oftentimes, this comes down to us well after we've put this show to bed in the evenings, especially during the early broadcast on the weekends and holidays here. So sometimes we are bringing you the day prior's catch numbers. If that is the case, we will have the freshest data first thing in our local morning news at 7:04 and 8:18. We also want to thank Scott Rayborn for now recording his interpretations so we can play them directly for you. Here's the July 3rd catch data from Port Moeller by station. Station 2, 8 in the 4.5, 18 sockeye in the 5 and an eighth, 26 total. Station 4, 6 and 14, 20 total. Station 6, 25 and 36, 61 total. Station 8, 12 and 20, 32 total. Station 10, 12 and 3, 15 total. Station 12, 11, and 14, 25 total. That's a total of 74 yesterday in the 4.5-inch mesh, 105 in the 5 and an eighth, 181 sockeye total across the transect. Mean daily catch index was 65. That's up from 63 Saturday, up from 52 Friday. Bigger fish showed up across the transect yesterday, especially at stations 2, 8, and 12. And another note here, temperature was the warmest recorded yet this season at 12.3 degrees Celsius. That's about 3 degrees hotter than previous highs. Tomorrow we'll break down how the rest of the state is doing with their harvest. But the quick note here, the Bristol Bay sockeye catch through yesterday is right about half of the state's total of 11,500,000 so far on the books. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report for July 4th. Back after this.
Good morning. In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July, and you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live. Exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Support comes from Crowley. Fueling Alaska for more than 60 years, Crowley supports local fisheries onshore and off with a full range of commercial marine fuel products and Bristol Bay floater fueling services. More information at crowleyfuels.com.
This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. It's July 4th. FRI's Curry Cunningham will join in a moment to provide some analysis on this year's run. First, here on the west side, escapement is looking pretty good. Nooshigak Kings are A-OK. So far, no mention of the Wood River Special Harvest Area. And about 100 permits already left for the east side, leaving a little more room for the rest of you out there. But allocation is suddenly a little out of whack. Tim Sands is the area management biologist.
Right now, we're 62% drift harvest. We should be at 74%. So we're trying to adjust that. We were making up ground every day, and then we didn't make up ground yesterday. Apparently a big drop-off in the drift effort because of the storm. I'm hoping that we start making up ground more now with the storm pass and people out there fishing. But also we're trying to give longer openings for the drift fleet. There's the set nets closing before the drift fleet, which we don't usually do, just to try and make adjustments in that allocation. But again, we're losing boats, so that complicates things. And Igushik Beach is having a tremendous harvest down there, and there's not really anything we can do about that. You know, we can't shut down the Igushik if we think we have good escapement, and just because it's not by the tower doesn't mean it's not in the river. So escapement's our priority there, so we'll keep Igushik opening. But, you know, we've been trying to fish over there with the fleet, and hard to make people go over there. It's further away from the tenders. So all we can do is continue to provide lots of drift opportunity, and hopefully that'll make up some ground in the allocation. Otherwise, we'll have to try something else.
Sand says he's a little concerned about escapement in the Igushik River, but he'll be flying today to see if those fish are in the river as he expects. Curry Cunningham with the University of Washington Fisheries Research Institute joins now to offer a weekly analysis of this year's run. FRI puts out a daily in-season update, which is available online. The graphs are pretty handy. We'll see if we can translate some of that to you, the listeners. Curry, good to speak with you. Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July to you, Dave.
All right. So I've been looking through the in-season updates from University of Washington FRI here. There's no way of couching this other than it's at least a little bit late. Am I wrong?
Well, certainly. Again, this year, it looks like we've had a very slow start to the season. When we look at cumulative catch and escapement through July 3rd, we stand at about 8.6 million. This is below the 80-plus average of about 12.7 million through this date, and even behind last year, which was a late run, we still had about 10.1 million through July 3rd. So we're certainly behind in some respects where we would expect to be at this point in the season, given the preseason forecast, particularly in Igigik and Naknek-Quijak districts.
The only one that I see plotted out on your charts that's coming in either bigger or sooner than usual is Ugashik.
Yeah, that's what it would appear. And when we look at that, we're comparing where we would expect to be given the preseason forecast and average run timing and distribution of the run.
Okay. Now, again, Fish and Game has a 46 to 47 million estimate. You're closer to 51 million on your preseason estimate. What are the odds that this run is either coming in smaller or, you know, the last few years it's come in bigger than the preseason forecast? That's what we saw happen last year as well. It came in late and then it just came in huge. Could that be something we're seeing?
Well, that's the big question at this time of year. Are we looking at late arrival timing or a very small run? And certainly if Bristol Bay were to have average arrival timing in this year and show a median return date or 50% catch and escapement observed around July 6th, we'd be looking at a very small run. However, there are some positive signs from Port Muller that run timing is, in fact, quite late for 2016. Now, in order to reach, the 40 to 50 million range, we need a run that's at least 3 to 4 days late. And our best indication of in-season run timing at this point is when the peak in port molar catch per unit effort occurs. Now, in years when port molar catches begin to decline before that average peak date for port molar of June 28th, that median date for Bristol Bay arrivals generally falls before July 6th. Now, in years such as 2013, we saw port molar catches come up and peak around June 22nd, 23rd. And this resulted in a run about 6.5 days earlier than the recent average. You know, we can contrast that with what we saw in 2015, which was increasing catches out at port molar almost through the entire time the test fishery operated out through July 9th.
Right.
And that, as you know, resulted in a run about 5 days later than the average.
A lot of our listeners won't be able to sort of scroll down and look at what Port Molar sends out each day, but on their mean daily catch index, the way that it's sort of plotted here, we see that lull that happened around the 28th, 29th, and then we've come right back up with some very big days, including yesterday and Saturday, both big catch days for Port Molar, and more fish showing up out there at the outer stations, too, it looks like here. What do you see with that? Do you think that we're going to see kind of a little bit of a lull and then another big surge, or how do you read it?
Well, certainly, as you pointed out, we had those two down days on the 28th, 29th, then bigger indices, 30th, 1st, 2nd, and through the 3rd. What we'd like to see is continued growth, higher catches out there in the next few days, and have it not drop off too quickly. As we stand right now, you know, it's unlikely that the run is on time or even 1 day late, and more likely that the run is 2 or more days late. And that's what we're looking for. It would be a very positive sign if we saw continued indices out there above 50, increasing up into the 60s and potentially higher, more in line with what we saw last year. That would be a very positive sign for this year, getting up into the range above 40 and maybe even reaching into preseason forecast territory.
Okay, so that's a maybe for you at this point.
Yeah, in terms of in-season assessment, we're currently expecting the run to be slightly below the preseason forecast, but still above 40 and a solid run relative to returns in previous years.
Okay. Have you publicly issued an adjustment to the preseason?
It's down a little bit from the preseason, but still above 40 million fish.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see what happens in the days ahead. One more question I'd like to ask you about Port Molar is temperature. It looked like it was pretty warm on yesterday's catch. Do you think that will play into anything we're seeing here? We've had kind of a nice bit of a cooling with some southwest winds over the past 4 or 5 days, which I think has been welcomed by those out on the waters waiting to see these fish move. But warmer temperatures suddenly out there at the test fishery. What do you think about that?
Well, in terms of temperature, we spent a lot of time looking at sea surface temperature as a predictor of run timing, also trying to figure out how the relationship between temperature and travel time between the port molar transect and inshore, as well as that relationship with the distribution of fish across the transect. You know, it's really hard to parse out exactly how temperature influences those things, and there doesn't seem to be much of a relationship.
All right. Do you see anything with these recent kind of upticks at 10 and 12 that tells you anything? I think last year some Kwijak fish were showing up at 12, but what do you glean from these numbers here?
Well, certainly there's a couple things we can think about in terms of the distribution of fish. One thing we try to do is approximate the distribution of fish across the transect in any particular year to try to understand how many fish might be passing on the outside. That's number one. The second is that historically, when we look at the distribution of port molar catches, they tend to expand further offshore right about when port molar is peaking at that point. They're more broadly distributed.
Okay, so that might be what we're starting to sort of see there is
exactly
moving in towards a peak. I guess we don't know till it starts to go down.
We won't know until we see a few days of a few days of lower catches out there.
And has anybody been able to calculate travel times to the inshore?
Well, so as you know, that's an interesting prospect at this point in the season. What we can tell, so the average is about 6 to 7 days in terms of travel time from the transect to the inshore districts for Bristol Bay on aggregate. Last year was a bit longer than the average, somewhere around 8 days. This year, as best we can tell, we're looking at somewhere in the realm of 9 days or better.
Okay. All right. Corey Cunningham, we always appreciate your analysis and participation here on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Happy 4th of July to all of you up there at Lake Alecnagik, and thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Dave, and happy 4th of July to you, too.
Well, in the mailbag today, a letter here to Mike Johnson on the Wind and Sea in Igigik. Hey, Mike, your mom dropped a line today to say happy birthday. She, Sandy, your grandma, and your aunt are thinking of you, and they say you're well-loved and missed. If you'd like to get a letter out to family or friends here in the Bay, send them to fish@kdlg.org or call us here at the station. We'll take that down and pass it along here over the air. In other news, of the fisheries-related news, this one coming up to us from Petersburg, a single-vehicle accident this morning in Petersburg has left two dead and two injured. Another fishing community there in Alaska. Community's 4th of July parade and carnival has been canceled in response. The wreck happened at about 7:30 this morning near South Harbor. Officials have not released the names of the individuals involved nor the details of the accident. The two injured were transported to the local hospital and were reported in okay condition as of noon today. Community will be holding a candlelight vigil tonight at 10 on Main Street downtown. Undercurrent News is reporting that salmon smokers in the UK are nervous about their supply after Brexit. The pound's purchasing power to buy Norwegian farmed salmon is not looking good, especially after the Norwegian farmed prices have gone to record high levels on account of problems with their supply. And SeafoodNews.com reporting today that China Fishery Group Limited has sought U.S. bankruptcy protection 4 months after defaulting on $300 million of bonds amid investigations by market regulators in Singapore and Hong Kong. Hong Kong-based company filed its Chapter 11 petition in the U.S. bankruptcy court in New York Thursday, listing as much as $50 million of liabilities and more than $500 million of assets, according to court documents. That's it for today's show. You can catch our replays at 6:30, 10, and 2. Keep in touch by phone and email, 842-5281, Dave, Molly, or Fish at kdlg.org. We'd really like to hear how it's going for you out there and put those responses onto our program. We hope you and yours enjoy the holiday today. We'll be back with more news and analysis from the world's greatest salmon fishery tomorrow on KDLG's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by the Bristol Bay Fisheries Association, advocating for fishermen. More information at bristolbayfishermen.org.